Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2, we'll be getting there shortly. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The United States of America, when the founding fathers were putting things together, served an awesome God. And we can serve the same God. And they wanted freedom of religion. They wanted men and women to have a choice. But they believed in the God of the Bible. And I think that's important because today's society is drifting away from the God of the Bible. Today, we want to have a God that we can form, that we can say, this is the God I have, instead of God being able to say, this is my servant. This is one who is serving me. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our nation turned 244 years old yesterday. Some of you will remember when that happened. But the Lord of the universe has blessed our nation beyond measure. And I'm not talking about the fact that we have a lot of natural resources. I'm not talking about the fact that we live in an area of capitalism and financially we are doing much, though we are in debt. How many trillions of dollars? $20 trillion or thereabouts? Higher than $20 trillion? Sooner or later, folks, it's all going to got to come down. But that's not why we are blessed. We are blessed because of gospel preaching churches. We have missionaries that go to different countries of the world. The people have no clue who Jesus Christ is. Well, if our salvation is in Jesus Christ and you have no clue, that's pretty sad, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is, we in America are without excuse because we have gospel preaching churches. We have radio stations that proclaim the truth. We have bookstores that sell Bibles, and not just bookstores that are geared for that, but you can go over to Costco or to Sam's and you can find Bibles. If nothing else, you can go to the public libraries and the Bibles are there. We are without excuse. To whom much is given, much is expected. But thank God that we have gospel preaching churches. The title of today's message is Reflections. Reflections, meaning contemplation, meditation, pondering. Do you like to ponder things? Do you like to remember things of the past? Now, my wife and I, when we go on vacation, we don't necessarily go to the t-shirt shop so that we can have souvenirs, but I have dozens of t-shirts, okay? So I know where we've been. But do you have something that reminds you of a favorite vacation, a picture you've put on the wall, or some plaque, or something, and every time you see it, it reminds you that you were here? Yes? Okay, I mean, reflections, pondering. And I was pondering some things that my dad has told me about World War II. Now, some of you came through World War II. Many of us are younger than that. But my dad, of course, grew up during that time. He was a paper boy. And he would go out and he would sell the paper for a couple of cents a paper, and he always hoped they'd give him a nickel and tell him to keep the change. Now, can you imagine getting a newspaper for a couple of cents? It costs a whole lot more than that today. But my dad would tell me about certain things that he remembered from World War II. One of the things was talking about how a lucky torpedo hit the German super battleship Bismarck in the rudder, allowing it to only go in circles. It was the largest of that time battleships that had ever been made. And it was a terror because its cannons and its armor was able, not armor, but it's the things that shot the cannons. What do you call those things? They're not cannons. Guns. There you go. But anyways, they could shoot them farther than any British battleships could shoot. But once the rudder was hit, it could only go in circles, which then made it an easy target. And he was talking about how that he believed the Lord worked amazing things in World War II that led to the Americans and the Allies winning the battle. But then he talked about Adolf Hitler. Someone as well said that evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Adolf Hitler was an evil man. But he wasn't the last evil man. There are many evil men today. And there are people today who are teaching and preaching liberal thoughts that are detrimental to our country. And so what we have is Adolf Hitler, who did some curious things, my dad said. Having quick victories in Denmark, Norway, the Netherlands, Belgium, and coming into France easily, he stopped the advancing German panzer division some 12 miles short of Dunkirk, where the British and Allied forces were seemingly trapped as they retreated. 12 miles. Why did he stop 12 miles away instead of continuing the battle? He believed that the German Luftwaffe, their air force, would destroy the British army in 3 days. He said, I don't need to continue to send my tanks and my men all the way to Dunkirk. He says, I'll send in my air force and they'll be able to take care of it. But the Luftwaffe bombers were thwarted by bad weather, pouring rain, fog, and low cloud cover hindered their efforts. And the British seized the opportunity to send for help. A call went out for boats of any size or kind to come to the rescue of the beleaguered troops stranded at Dunkirk. A flotilla of more than 800 vessels, including barges, tugboats, private yachts, fishing boats, manned by British soldiers and private citizens, crossed the channel and ferried the men back to England. For 9 days, from May 26th to June 4th, 1940, the rescue mission went on. Thus, an entire army of over 350,000 soldiers were rescued. Now, you ponder that. 350,000 soldiers are trapped there in Dunkirk. Hitler says, I'm going to bomb them into oblivion. And when the bombers come, they can't find it. It's not today where they'd be able to tell where it is easily. You're talking 1940. You think that's the hand of God? Do you think the Lord blesses a nation whose God is the Lord? I think so. And so what we have here is 350,000 soldiers that are rescued. The Luftwaffe records state that wave after wave of bombers reported lack of good bombing conditions. And as a result, returned to base. Later in 1940, Hitler turned his armies toward Russia, who they had signed a non-aggressive pact with a decree to begin preparation to crush Soviet Russia in a lightning campaign. This was before the termination of hostilities with Great Britain. Now, right across the channel is a near defenseless nation. They've left almost all their armament back at Dunkirk. Some have said that the British at that time had one machine gun per mile. to defend their coasts. One machine gun per mile. And Germany is sitting there at that time with the greatest army around, and they turn it towards Russia. 3 million soldiers, plus thousands of planes and motorized vehicles, attacked Russia when they could have easily defeated England if they had just simply attacked. Doesn't the Bible say that leaders are in the hands of the Lord? Yes? That the king, and Hitler thought he was the king. Why didn't he go in? Do you think it's because that when America finally said, well, okay, we're going to go help, that we could come to England and go from there? Because what if England had fallen to the Germans? Where would America have had to attack? Through Africa? It would have been much harder. Yet God is in control. He's in control. Hitler was depending upon, again, the German Luftwaffe to break the British morale. But they could not. Fortunately, though outnumbered, the Royal Air Force had better planes with their Rolls-Royce engines and the advantage of the newly invented radar system, which alerted them that the German Air Force was coming. The RAF downed over 1,400 German planes in 2.5 months between August the 8th and October 31st of 1940. 1,400 German planes, bombers, and everything else. Meanwhile, came the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941. We were fortunate that the attack only sank or seriously damaged 5 battleships and 3 cruisers. Unfortunately, 2,000 Americans were killed in the attack. But was it luck, or was it God's hand of protection of the United States that all our flat tops, or aircraft carriers, were out on maneuvers, and none of them were damaged or destroyed? Was that luck, or was it God's blessing? It was definitely God's blessing. The fact that we had our aircraft carriers at the Battle of Midway, and as we continued the pursuit of the Japanese Navy through the Pacific Ocean, the fact that we still had them led to our victory. God blessed America. Oh yes, thousands of people were dying, but we still find God's hand was there. A fourth thought was the blessing that we developed the world's first nuclear weapon that worked, and not Germany or Japan or Russia. That we developed the first one that worked. 75 years ago, on July 16th, 1945, an A nuclear explosion took place in an empty valley in New Mexico, signaling the dawning of the atomic age. Less than a month later, history tells us on August the 6th, 1945, the weapon was loaded on a Boeing B-29 Super Fortress known as the Enola Gay. The target was Hiroshima. President Truman broke into the airwaves to announce that the largest bomb ever used in the history of warfare had been dropped on a Japanese city. 3 days later, on August the 9th, another atomic bomb dropped from a bay of another super fortress, obliterating Nagasaki. Shortly after, the Japanese Emperor Hirohito broadcasted an announcement to his good and loyal subjects that he had ordered his imperial fortress forces to surrender. The Germans continued the fight probably over a year longer than they should have because they thought they were going to come up with the atom bomb. What if Germany had gotten the atom bomb first? What if Russia had gotten it before we did? What about Japan? Who got it first? Because we're Americans? Or because God blessed America? I tell you what, it's a blessing that we got it first. And yes, two cities were bombed with it. But some have said that America, if they had had to attack Japan with our forces, that we'd have probably lost over 100,000 men just in that one attack. Usually the event that brought the most emotions from my dad is when he talked about the events of June 6th, 1944. Now, I don't know if any of you were alive on June 6th of 1944, but that day is best known as D-Day. D-Day. Everything had to go according to plan. The Allies had to convince the German high command that they were going to attack Calais in France. To accomplish this, they had to deceive the enemy. They constructed a fake military installation in southeastern England. They constructed rows of dummy tanks that appeared real to the German airmen flying over the island. The military had created a non-existent invasion force complete with its own commander. They sent out false messages, which they allowed the Germans to intercept, and even conducted naval movements off that section of the French coast. The plan succeeded. For when the real Allied attack came, the Germans had amassed their best troops in the area of France where they expected the invasion to come. In Operation Overlord was the plan they had when they invaded Europe by way of Normandy. Everything had to be just right, including the weather, the tides, and the amount of moonlight. This assault, which was the greatest amphibious operation in history, had been thoroughly rehearsed in order to ensure its success. Thousands of planes, ships, and men were called upon to do battle against a well-entrenched army. But within 3 weeks of the invasions, the Allies had landed nearly 1 million men, 500,000 tons of supplies, and 177,000 vehicles. I've often wondered in today's world how many people would have had their cell phones going off in such an invasion. And we lost a lot of good men and women. But God has blessed America. But there's one event my dad never talked to me about. I don't know why, but it was called Operation Manna. Ever realized how many things have biblical thoughts behind them? Manna came down from the heavens, right? This was called Operation Manna. Starvation was running rampant in Holland in 1944 and 1945. The war was not over yet, and hunger ravished the Netherlands. When General Eisenhower heard of it, he negotiated with the Germans in Holland to drop food. Now, you put yourself in that place. Holland, 1944, 1945, food is scarce. The war has been going on for 4 or 5 years, and there isn't much to eat. And we all like to eat. I presume most of you had a good picnic or something yesterday. Amazingly, the Germans agreed that Allied bombers would not be fired upon as long as they were unarmed and stuck to specified air corridors. Drop zones were set where the bombers would be allowed to fly in at about 400 feet and drop boxes of food without being fired on by the German anti-aircraft guns. Now listen, a total of 3,100 flights were made by 400 B-17 Flying Fortress airplanes. RAF and Canadian planes also participated in the dropping of tons of food. The BBC broadcast reaching into Holland gave the news of the coming missions of mercy. The Hollanders would line up along the streets, waving everything they had, bedsheets, flags, etc., from balconies, windmills, and the streets. Cheering, waving, weeping, even spelling out thank you with Holland's famous tulips. Operation Manna. You have the book of James there, chapter 2. The BBC broadcast reaching into Holland gave the news of the coming missions of mercy. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We'll continue reading in a moment. Faith without works is dead. Do you believe that Jesus Christ saved your soul? That the day came in which you realized I am a lost sinner, that I am doomed and damned to hellfire, and that unless I accept a Savior, I'm going to die and go to hell. Well, where should I go? Now, lots of people turn to religion. What have I said about religion? Religion cannot save you. There's thousands of religions in our society today. And we are being deceived into thinking that they all lead to the same place. They don't all lead to the same place. Only faith in Jesus Christ will lead one to heaven. God has blessed America with gospel-preaching churches. Lots of people are religious. Some people are going to die so religious that we're going to think, wow, they were a great person. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're lost and damned and going to hell. And faith without works is dead. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have an obligation to share the faith. Number of years ago, when we got the video from Lisa Lewis, and she was going to Africa, to Togo. Remember, she came with all that stuff that said to go, to remind us of Togo. And she sent the video of the young children there asking her questions, and why is the sky blue, and why are trees green, and talking about salvation, and they said, how long have you known this? They wanted to know from Lisa Lewis, how long did you know that this is the way of salvation? How long have we known that Jesus Christ is our Lord and we have told nobody? That we have not shared that there is only one way into heaven. Faith without works is dead. And I believe one of the reasons our churches struggle today is that we have nice buildings and we have air conditioning. Aren't you glad the air conditioning's on? Yes. And we have psalm books that we can sing from as the organist and pianist play. And we can put our offerings in, and that's a good thing. Thank you. It helps pay my wage. But what have we done in the way of works? Faith without works is dead. When General Eisenhower realized the need, he did something about it. 3,100 flights were made by 400 different B-17 Flying Fortress Air Force planes. Maybe you've seen the pictures as the people waved as the planes flew over. And the planes that had once carried bombs now carry packages of food, mainly bread. And the bomb doors opened and out came the food. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The day before D-Day, the commanding officers of the American men that were going to battle were told, many of you will not survive. Many of you will not survive. Did they still go? They went. And many thousands of our men died. There are many cemeteries there in France with our young men buried there. Faith without works is dead. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Lord? Was there a day and a time? Now, you may not remember the exact day or the exact time or even your exact age, but you remember it happened maybe in vacation Bible school or Sunday school or on a Sunday morning, or like myself, I did it on Saturday night with my parents, that you came to that point, you realized, I need a Savior. Do you remember that day? And you went forward and you shook the pastor's hand, and a couple of weeks later you were baptized. I think, Debbie, you and I were baptized on the same day. Gideon Baptist Church. Yes. Was Diane there too? Yeah. Boy, that was just a few years ago. 10 or 15. But the day came that I realized I needed a Savior. Because even as a young boy, well, you know, it's hard to believe that I was ever bad. But I was. How many sins will send you to hell? One. One sin. You become a sinner. You need a Savior. How many of you have only sinned once? Oh, I don't see any hands. How many of you have sinned only once today? But you came to that point and you said, I need a Savior. Thank God that the message was preached. Because most of us don't get saved the very first time we hear the message. Most of us need many messages. And you prayed and you asked the Lord to become your Savior. You're baptized not to be saved. You're baptized to show that you have been saved. You work not to be saved, but because you have been saved. For the wages of sin is death. We've worked for hell. But the gift of God is eternal life. Faith without works is dead.
Have you ever had a stale donut. Oh, it looks good, maybe. It looks so nice. And then you bite into it, and you say, yuck. See, there's a donut that has the looks. But when you taste it, there's nothing there. It's dead. How about your faith? Do you look good on the outside? But what's going on the inside? Our Lord makes it clear that He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. He looks at the heart. How is your heart today? Can I ask you a question? Do you know Christ is your Savior? And I'll follow that up with a second question. Have you shared that with others? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Maybe that's the problem with too many churches in America today. Oh, we look good on the outside. You know, our lawns are nicely cut, and we've maybe have planted flowers. On the inside, the walls are painted nice and the pews are comfortable, or maybe individual seats, depending on the setup. The electricity is on, and at this time of year, the air conditioning is running. The song leader leads you a song, and the pianist and organist are playing, and everything looks, well, it just looks nice. But what is the message? Is it a feel-good message? Or is it one that proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost? How important it is that people know of Jesus Christ, and not just so that we can celebrate Christmas, but that He came to die, that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, for the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be encouraged to realize that our faith without works is dead, and may we have a vibrant faith. Help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.